Welcome to the Unstick Your Mind podcast on Mimika TV. Get ready to get unstuck, align with your true purpose, and unlock your God-given potential. Hello and welcome to Mimika TV. I'm so excited to have you join me here today. I have a special guest on today who's going to talk about a topic that not many of us like to talk about. Yes, the topic of money. But let me tell you, stay with me. You are going to love today's episode because today's guest is really going to give us some tidbits and tools of how we can readdress and redesign and rewrite our money story. So today's guest is Carissa Quade. She is a biblical money mindset coach and speaker and from Change Your Finances. She empowers Christian female entrepreneurs who grew up believing that mindsets, including making money as a Christian, are maybe bad or that money is an idol. Well, she's going to help you realize your value in the marketplace and stop you from undercharging. So welcome, Carissa. I'm so excited for you to be here today.
Thank you, Mimika. It is truly an honor.
Well, I'm excited to dive into this topic. And as I mentioned, this is kind of the attaché subject for some people because they're like, Christians don't talk about money. Well, honey, we take a seat, get a pen and paper out. We are going to talk about it, the big elephant in the room. And the reason why is I think this is a topic that is really under talked about, especially in Christian circles, because of just like you said in your bio, that a lot of us grew up believing lies about what money and wealth means. But I will preface this and say, if you look at the Jewish community, they do not have a problem with prosperity. It's the way we were raised and some false mindsets that we have perhaps grown up to believe that constantly keeps us in lack or scarcity or fear-based choices. So we want to help you rectify that today. So before we get into all those tips, tell us, our audience, a little bit about you and how you got into doing what you're doing today.
Well, thank you. So I've been an entrepreneur for 18 years, and I started off as a sign language interpreter, and I was putting my husband through school when we first got married, but it all kind of fell on me. You know, I'm the one running the business. I'm the one supporting the family, and everything about money made me panic. And then adding in the business aspect to it, it was just so much. And so there is this moment where I'm at the grocery store and I'm staring at the chocolate chips, but all I could think was, why can't I make more money in my business? Does God really want me in business? Because even though at this point I had built up a successful business with my interpreting and it had allowed me to support my family and save up $79,775 in cash to pay for the rest of my husband's education, there was always this pressure to make more. And there was this tension of how much is too much. And so I'm wrestling with all of this because honestly, I enjoyed making money and I wanted a massive income. Though I never said that part out loud. Even though I wanted to serve and impact 100,000 women, I was worried that I was making money into an idol. And so, like many of you, I had invested thousands into marketing, coaching, even hiring a team. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get past this revenue wall. So that's kind of where, as I really looked into what the Bible said about money, it helped me, like I said, pay that for my husband's school. But then also I just started really seeing how these actually apply to business. The concepts about money talk about business. They talk about our mindsets, which I know you talk a lot about right here on the show. And when I started applying these principles to my mindsets around money, around business, that's when I started seeing it, being able to reframe. And I love teaching. So I'm like, okay, I need to put all this together and start coaching other entrepreneurs because they all struggle with the same thing that I do. So that's kind of how I've gotten here.
I love it. So it's kind of like having been through the process, right? Where we all, I mean, and let's face it, all entrepreneurs have a desire for more, and usually it's freedom, and money buys us freedom. And we know we need that income in order to grow the business, hire people, in order to do the things and also to invest in the things that God wants us to invest in. But there comes these things that, and I'd realized that you and I had a conversation before today's show, and it really got me thinking about this. I said, what is it that we've been telling ourselves? And it's the story that keeps playing on, which is our mindset that is set on a story of this is what happened either. And wouldn't you agree? It's a lot of it based in childhood or how we've phrased. So we kind of like, we don't think about what we're thinking about. So I'm like, hang on, let's put a big fat pause on this for a second. Let's just figure this story out. What is the soundtrack that keeps going round and round in my head that either when I come in contact with money, I either spend it faster than I can keep it or feel like I'm not worthy enough to charge. That's one thing I realize a lot of female entrepreneurs struggle with. Men, not as much, but women. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you agree with me, Carissa, but yes. I know a lot of women who attach their worth to how much they earn. Mm-hmm. So let's get our pen and paper. Let's dive into this and pull the Band-Aid off. What would you say would be the first thing we could do to help the women listening that if they, maybe the first thing is just to identify, is this a money block? How do we know?
How do you know if it's a money block? Well, there are a couple of things that can be like a physical reaction. When you think about making money or you think about being wealthy or you think about pricing, you have almost this like physical reaction. And for me, I know I used to have this like squeezing of my chest and almost like this panic when I thought about money. So that's an indication that you can pay attention to, but it's also what kind of beliefs, what kind of phrases, what kind of things have you grown up with from hearing from your family, from the church that talk about money and business? So for example, money is the root of all evil, right? Wealthy people are evil. We hear these messages and it can be as subtle as, let me just give you an example of one of my clients. She said, we were middle class, doing pretty well. We would go to church every Sunday. We'd go to church. So they love God. And as soon as they got into their car on the way home, immediately a dialogue would be like, she has a new car. Why is he dressed like that? They must have done something illegal to get that money. They're doing something a little shady there. And so the message was, we go to church, we love God, but wealthy people shouldn't. I mean, if you're wealthy, you're doing something illegal to get that money and you're better than everybody else. And that grew, as she grew up, that now affects her and her business.
So it's kind of like these records or these training or mirroring, because that's what kids do. We mirror what our parents and we believe, well, this mm-hmm. must be truth because this is what's presented to me. And this kids believe the first thing that they are taught, like mm-hmm. by the first
especially
person.
Especially if it's somebody you respect and you admire, right?
So then we think, okay, well, this is how we treat money, or this is how, like, especially that's a big one where people are who grow up in poverty. And it's almost like, wouldn't you say it's more of a defense mechanism where, you know, rich people are evil or rich people are think they're better than everybody else. But we don't actually think past that. Like, what does it take to be rich? Because as I said earlier, like the Jewish community do not have a problem with prosperity.
Right.
Because they understand
a lot with the about why they're so prosperous and just even the Hebrew roots of the word. So you're talking about reframing our thoughts. Did that answer your question on some like where do you find money blocks? But I also know like if you have a fear of making too much money, because then you're going to turn into this horrible, evil jerk. Or a fear of what other people are going to say about your prices, you know, something like that. Or you doubt, you have a doubt. It really comes down to you don't know who God's character is, or you doubt that he's going to come through, as he said, in your business. So it usually comes down to fears and doubts as well.
Mm. Yeah, kind of almost like, well, I know it's kind of a rudimentary way of like you're a child, you're praying for Santa Claus to bring you something and he doesn't bring you what you want. And we kind of adapt to that way of like, okay, Lord, please bless my business or bring me money, and it doesn't happen. It is a very immature way of thinking about things, where if we can say, okay, is this true? Like, let's decide if this is true or this is false.
Well, and we can question that. To your point, If you're praying for God to bless you in your business, yet you're afraid of wealth, afraid of being successful, at the same time you're praying for it, you're rejecting the blessings.
That's interesting. So we kind of, please Lord bless me, but oh, I'm scared of adapt. So it's almost like we don't want to receive it. Maybe it's a problem with receiving, right?
Oh, that definitely can be. And receiving, you have to first receive the generosity of God and his love for you. And then you're really able to receive money, you know, wealth in that way too. Because if you aren't receiving, you know, if you have this block up around receiving, you're going to have a hard time growing your business.
Yeah, very true. So how would we describe this? I mean, just going back to that point, I think we just need to mention this a little bit. What is the definition of prosperity? And you said you've studied the Jewish idea of what wealth is. And I think this is a great topic just to kind of touch on, because I think we need to separate the idea of, like, you know, prosperity and wealth and money are kind of almost separate issues. But if we first address, because, you know, as Christian entrepreneurs, we align our identity with what God and who God says we are. Mm-hmm. So how do we get that in the right alignment about what that means?
Well, and this is part of reframing your money story, right? You have to understand what story you're believing and then look at what God says. And one of the favorite verses that really kind of encompasses all of that is in Genesis 2. And there's this verse in Genesis 2 that kind of reframed my whole money story, if you will. And it talks about the whole creation, you know, everything is created, everything is good. And then there's this little passage that says, a river wound around the land of Havilah, where there was gold. And the gold of that land was good. Now, me studying everything about money, I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So I looked into what it meant, and I looked into the Hebrew definition, and the Hebrew definition for gold means money, like currency. It means wealth, and it also means trade and business. And so we're called to cultivate the land, which is a symbol for business, and cultivate the wealth in the land by, and this is the other part, it was the eighth mention of something being called good, which in Hebrew, it means that eight is partnering with God to make the world a better place. So we do all of this through our business, through serving other people and making their lives better. And we're able to cultivate wealth as a result. And so this is something that when you have a view on wealth, that one, God created it, he called it good. This is how he wants us to cultivate it, by serving other people. Then that really takes away a lot of your issues around money. You know, is wealth good? Is it bad? You know, God says it's good. He tells us how to do it. And then we can go out and we can serve and we don't have to worry about it.
Definitely. So it's a tool. That's really what, and we, by reframing that and thinking, God wants to bless me because through me and my stewardship, I can bless others. And it's a tool to grow. Because if you think about it, the more revenue you have in your business, the more people you employ, which is creating opportunities for them and affecting their family lines. So if we just kind of think of a big picture and take ourselves out of that, and this is what would bring me to this next point, which I think we need to talk about too, is how do we separate our self-concept or our perceived value of self, so it's not connected to our money? Because I know I have this conversation with my coaching clients too. A lot of them have, oh, I don't feel good enough unless I work myself to a frazzle, or unless, like, I could never charge that because I'm not good enough. There's this kind of false mixing of earning money and identity. How can we identify? How can we sort of deal with that issue?
Well, I definitely relate, because in all of those years of putting my husband through school, I got to this point where I felt my worth was how much I brought in. And I know a lot of, you know, my own clients, myself too, you struggle with, am I good enough? You know, all of this. And if you're just basing it on your product and your experience and all of this, it's not going to change the narrative in your head. What I have found is that the worth and value of your life has to do with the ransom that was paid for you, the value of the ransom that was paid for you. And so we have all of these, we have a ransom that has been paid for us with Jesus's own body. And so we have to recognize that and recognize that because of that, my worth, your worth is indescribable. Now, let me follow that up. Because we are partnering with God and serving others, we're making the world a better place. We are actually bringing transformation to our clients' lives. And we are solving a problem and making their lives better. So in a sense, we are bringing the kingdom of heaven here on earth when we do that. And that's where we can charge even a higher amount because of the value of the transformation, because we are truly serving and we're also making their lives better.
Definitely. And you mentioned the word value, and this is a whole topic that I know that the concept of value, perceived value, how much you charge for value. And like you said, it's basically charging for a transformation you're providing someone, and that there is value in that. So like if someone who's struggling, I know this is a topic I talked to very recently with quite a few of my clients, is about when they feel like they're undercharging. And they know that what they're providing their clients is worth so much more, but they're scared to charge more. How would you walk them through that?
I would go through, let me give you three steps. If you're scared to charge more, I would start diving into why. Are you afraid of what they're going to say when you come out with a higher price? Are you afraid that you're not going to get any clients? What is going on below the surface? Are you like one of my other clients? She's like, her dad told her, your mind is going to be blown. You can either have friends or make money and make sales. When she was thinking about going into business when she was, I guess, high school. So she's carried that along with her this whole time. So now when she's trying to really show up in her business as who she's called to be, she's still like concerned about, can I be friends and can I sell? And so identify where this is coming from, really dig deep into it, invite God into this moment, say, okay, why am I so afraid of that? The second step, once you've identified where that has come from. So like my friend with her, you can either make money or you can have friends. We had to go into it and we had to say, okay, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says, blessed is the one who's selling. There's a blessing on his head. The Bible says that in Genesis, that we are to cultivate by partnering with God, serving others and making their lives better. And when we do that, we're truly loving them. It's because we see that they have, our clients, whoever they are, they have a problem, that they're praying desperately for a solution. And we can say, Nicole or whoever, I see you have this problem. I have a solution. Is that something that you would like? And when they say yes, they pay us and they're happy to do so. The third step is once we identify what God says about this, whatever fear, whatever's going on, once we identify the fear, once we see what God's word says, now we have to stand in confidence, not in ourselves, but in who God is, how he's created this whole system of business and money, and how we can truly be a light in the darkness and serve our neighbors with our business. And then with the money that we get, now we can be extremely generous. Again, putting more light into the darkness and all reflecting God. So you have to have the courage to walk in it.
Definitely. So it's really is separating us as our value, because our value is in Christ because of the, as you said, the price that Jesus paid. So we are very valuable itself. That is not connected to what we charge. What we charge is connected to the value we bring or the transformation. Like someone has a problem, you have a solution. Selling is actually service. You are saying, mm-hmm. Hey, I can help you. Mm-hmm. So making offers, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs who aren't necessarily used to sales kind of see sales as something that's slimy or, oh, you're pushing something. Well, no, if you're providing a service or a product for somebody who's in need, you are providing a need, right? So this is what I love about this whole process is, and you have a great way of doing it, is saying, asking the questions, why? Like, why do I think that? Where did this come from? And is this true? So is your process like really saying, okay, this is what you believe, so let's see what God's word. So kind of comparing and readjusting, you know, what the narrative is.
Absolutely. Cause that's the way you reframe it. You have to know what you're working with, whether it came from your father, whether it came from the church, whether it even came from your own experiences, or this is the other thing I've learned. It can also be an attack on your mind. Because as an ambitious Christian female entrepreneur, if you're all lined up with the word of God, as far as your beliefs around money and business, you have the potential and the calling to have this incredible, massive impact, not only on the clients you serve, but every client that you serve, everybody around them is going to change. You also have this impact on your family. And you have an overflow. So now you can impact your community. And all of this goes on for generations. The enemy knows that. He knows what kind of glory and massive impact and massive legacy you will create that brings glory to God. And he doesn't want any part of it. So if he can keep you stuck, oh, I'm afraid to ask for the sale because I don't know what they're going to think of. If he can keep you there, your legacy is very limited.
Yeah. So it's kind of small mind thinking, because of course that's what he wants to do is, and this is what I find so crucial in this process is he always attacks identity. Mm-hmm. I mean, the world's a hot mess right now and the whole question of identity and all that. And really what if you think about it is God said he made us in his image. Mm-hmm. So of course the enemy wants to destroy the image bearers in whichever shape or form, which is us. And what did God do? He created and he produced and he called it good. So any ways that you are feeling challenged that doesn't line up with that, that says, you know, what you're doing, like sales is bad or making money is bad, just kind of catch that thought and think, is this what God said it is? Mm-hmm. This isn't true, right? So it's sifting the truths from the lies.
And then you have a choice. Am I going to continue to do what is comfortable? What feels, quote, safe, but it's really leading to death? Because we know, right? When we're worried about all that stuff, that is death to us. Or am I going to choose what God says and choose to develop my belief and my faith in him and what he has said and what he has promised? And am I going to walk in that?
Definitely. I mean, just adopting that is like can totally change your whole mindset towards the way you approach things. So one last topic I definitely want us to have a quick chat about is this concept. And this is something, you know, I deal with a lot with my clients is this idea that you have to work until you drop, this burnout. Like if I'm not working hard, even in the church, you don't even have to be in business. I see this a lot in general, like mothers with their families, but you know, in particular with my clients in business is they feel like if they're not burning the wick at both ends and are not burning out and working so hard until they want to fall apart, they can't be working enough for them or for God. Now, let's just touch on this for a moment.
You're hitting close to home. I've had seasons where I was at what you're just describing. And I had to realize that God has redeemed us from a life of slavery. When you're working and burning the candle at both ends, you're working all weekend, you're not taking any time off, you're not being with your family, that is slavery. And he calls us to rest. And we can rest throughout the day. We can rest, you know, take a day off. And he promises that he'll provide more than enough so that, one, we can have that rest in him. And we can have that refreshing, because you're not truly serving well if you're burnt out and you have nothing to give. And when we can rest in him and we see his provision and we see, you know, taking some time off, this shows the difference that who God is, first of all, but it also shows the difference and how we're supposed to be different from the world. And we can rest and we can still see God's provision.
I love that. Well, if you think about it, God said he made the world in 6 days and then he rested. And if God himself needs to rest, honey, so do we. Well, mic drop on that, right? That was definitely, I love that. And it's just really great how we can just allow these concepts to sink in and to marinate on it. But before we end up, what would you say if you had to leave everybody with a takeaway tip? What would you want them to take away with them today?
You know, over the years, these are all small shifts, like 3% shifts. It's not like you need to totally change your whole mind on every topic right today. It's small shifts that make a huge difference in where you end up. And over the years, I've made hundreds of these shifts. And instead of the battlefield in my mind, now there's confidence and joy in my business. Instead of feeling stuck, now I'm on a path to serve multitudes. And instead of money being an idol, now I'm excited to cultivate wealth and a legacy. And you guys can do this too. It starts with one 3% shift and then another.
Yeah, I love that. Little baby steps, right? Just a little percentage, like a little rudder in a ship. Just takes a tiny little degree to change the direction to where you're going to end up. So you can make that decision today that no matter where you are in your life and your business, we don't have to believe the lies that have been set on repeat. We can challenge them. We can ask why. We can dig deep. And I always say, you know, the way to break that off is just to say, you know, go back and you can redeem the line from your family too. And just, you know, repent on behalf of any lies that we have believed and false truths. And we just ask, you know, the Lord to give us the truth. And it's amazing how quickly he can shift you into that. Mm-hmm. But talking of which, would you be kind enough to pray for our audience?
Sure, but I do have a gift. Can I tell
you? Yes. Well, let's pray while we're in this mode. And then I want you to be able to share everything about what you
have. Okay.
And then we will get into it. Definitely. Go for it.
Dear Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for everyone who is listening. And Lord, we thank you that you have redeemed us. And that you have paid a ransom for us, that our value and our worth is found in you. Father, I ask that you would illuminate any lies that these women have been believing about money, about business, about their worth and identity. And I ask that you would show them the truth in your word, that you would quicken their hearts so that they might want to serve you with their whole heart, their whole mind, that they would be willing to take up arms against these lies in their mind, and that you would give them the protection, as you already have that victory. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one of them. I pray a blessing that they might, one, know you and love you with their whole mind, without any fear, without any doubt, but that you would bless them abundantly as they go about serving their clients, and that you would bless them so much that they would be able to be so generous and reflect your generosity and your honor to all those around, that they might see and they might be drawn to know you. Father, I just ask for your wisdom on as they are addressing these mindsets that have been holding them back, and that you would bring victory. And we thank you. And it's in Jesus's precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen to that. Well, thank you for that. I always love these power prayers. And if you're listening on the treadmill, in the dish, doing the dishes or walking the dog, this is always, this is wonderful just to take it as yours and to, you know, receive it and to walk in that. So definitely, I'd love for you to share what's the best place people can find you. And I know you mentioned you have a gift. So tell our audience about that.
So if you are like, okay, I have some things going on, you know, I have a free training. It's called The Truth Why You Are Hitting a Revenue Wall. You're playing small in your business and you're limiting your legacy. And if anything that I've said that we've talked about today has really kind of sparked your interest and you want to go deeper, that is a great first step to take. And for you guys, I have it at changeyourfinances.com/unstick. changeyourfinances.com/unstick, just for everybody who's listening to this show. And as far as finding me, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. My website is Change Your Finances.
Perfect. Well, we'll have all these links in the show notes. So no matter what platform you're listening or watching on, click the button that says show notes and that'll bring up the window that has all of Carissa's information as well as her social media platforms. I know you're active on Instagram, right? Is that your favorite place to be?
You know, I've kind of grown up on Facebook and now I'm shifting to a little bit more Instagram and also on Clubhouse. And I'm trying to be a little bit more everywhere.
Yeah, like we're all, right? Trying to juggle the social media plate. But we will definitely make sure to put you in contact. And if you enjoyed what she had to say today, make sure to share it with your friends. I'm sure you know at least somebody who needs to hear or see this. And then add your comments. We'd love to know, like, what was a big aha for you? What maybe takeaway tip that you're going to walk away with? You know, we'd love to hear that engagement from you and what you find the most valuable. And, you know, make sure to go and follow and subscribe. If you haven't yet subscribed to our show, we are on audio platforms like Stitcher and iTunes. Make sure to click that button. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that little subscriber button too, and you can get more notifications of as new episodes come out. But I'm going to say thank you so much for Carissa for joining me today. It's been such a delight. I know we could talk about this. There's so many avenues you can go down, like, right? So many concepts we can talk about. But I appreciate you sharing this with the audience and being with me here today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And for anyone in your audience, if you do have any of these issues that you want to talk more about, feel free to reach out because I would love to help you. I'm just on a mission to serve 100,000 entrepreneurs and help them get their mindsets lined up with the Bible.
That's awesome. Well, definitely reach out to her if you have any issues with that. And we know that you're listening and watching for a reason and for this next season, time to shift in and take action today. So thanks again for joining us. Take care. Are you ready to change your brain to change your life? Discover how to break limiting beliefs, stop self-sabotage, and unlock your full potential by rewiring your brain using neuroscience, coaching, and faith-based principles. Come and join my coaching program, Unstick Your Mind, today.